Namaste. This is Mia from Out of the Tangled Web. And for right now, the show Mind Mapping with Mia. I'm going to give you something a little different tonight. I'm going to give you what would amount to be like having a conversation with me, because I have found that having a radio show is really cool. You know, say, well, I got a radio show. Okay. But if it's not doing for my tribe, my people out there, the people who need me, you know, if it's not doing it for them, then I want to get it right. So the first thing that I'm going to do is tonight, I'm going to introduce you to me. Me, Myself, and Mia was a pretty good title, wasn't it? Because I am City Irish, and you can look it up, S-I-D-H-E, and it'll give you an idea about me, the way I think. I've been evolving spiritually since I was about 12 or 13. I made the decision to be pagan about the age of 13, coming from an Irish Roman Catholic family. That was a big decision, but I took it very seriously. I, for a period of time, studied Wicca and different, but always as a solitary practitioner. I did go to college for some of it. I made the decision back then, and I pursued it, you know, all throughout my adult life, but I've been very eclectic, and I'm really coming back into my own now in my life. I'm taking care of my mother, who is 87, and she has dementia, and it has forced me to decide to work from home. And I've been a cognitive behavioral therapist for 20 years, and I'm not your typical therapist, you know, never was, you know, because I could never understand how therapists could say, okay, well, I'm going to give you a Thursday appointment at 5, and you can tell me all about your life then. But on Tuesday, they have, like, as my some of my clients call it, their kids have like hissy fits or meltdowns on Tuesday, and they need to be dealt with right then and there. That's when I specialized my practice, and I was a 24/7 therapist, which meant I dealt with less people but more intensely. In the process of doing this, I began to understand human nature. I was born an empath, which means that I'm very sensitive to emotion, other people's energy when they give it off, if it's positive or if it's negative, if it's depressed, whatever it is, I'm very sensitive to it, have been ever since I was a small child. And sometimes, because of all the things I've studied, neurolinguistics, counseling, coaching, mediation, I'm a Reiki master, I'm a chakra master, I am a certified hypnotherapist, and I do regressive work, both post-traumatic stress, sexual abuse, and also reincarnation. I have a particular interest in that area. Mind mapping is just a word that we chose to try and explain what is going on with people. So I'm going to read a little bit from a book that changed my life, and I am going to talk a little bit about it. and I'm going to see if in just 1 hour session we can do a little bit to change your life. And if that's the case, then I will continue my radio show. So let me read you the quote that's in the beginning of the book. The book itself is The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And he quotes John Lennon, "Living is easy with eyes closed, misunderstanding all you see." How true is that? If we keep our eyes closed and we misunderstand everything, then life's pretty simple, huh? Not very realistic, but sure would be simple. Well, I think you need to understand that you're dreaming right now. I'm dreaming right now. But we're dreaming when we're awake. You know, dreaming is the function of the mind. And the mind goes 24 hours a day. In dreams where your mind is awake, and you dream when your mind, well, your brain, is technically asleep. The difference is where the brain is awake, there is a material form. It's like a frame that keeps things that you perceive that go in a linear way. It's like, I do this, you do that. I do this, you do that. Where we go to sleep, those boundaries, those perimeters, they aren't there anymore. And so the dream has a tendency to change constantly. Yes, I do dream interpretation. It's not my favorite thing, but it's a good place to get started when you're trying to figure out, you know, where you are in your evolution. Okay. So we are all in the dream of the planet. Okay. We are born with the capacity to learn how to dream. And in our dreams, we're everything that we need to be. We're everything. We're fine. There's nothing wrong with us. The outside dream uses the influences, the humans that domesticate us, a family, you go to school, your friends, your teachers, your religious figures. You didn't choose, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I didn't choose to speak English. I speak English because English is what was taught to me. I look at this book and I call this a page that has words on it. But I call it a page because somewhere in my life, I made an agreement with everybody else that that's what we were going to call a page. And that's how things come into existence. People in other places, they don't call it a page. They call it whatever their word is that represents something. But it's all representation. The most important thing that you need to have is attention. Attention is the ability to discriminate and to focus only on that we want to perceive. We can perceive millions of things simultaneously, but using our attention, we can only hold whatever we want to perceive in the foreground of our mind. Repetition. Y'all know that that's how we learn everything. I mean, ain't one of you that has not been brought up hearing the same things we all have heard. You better eat that meal. There's people starving in Africa. You know, you better not do that. You know, Santa Claus is watching, and he's going to write down whether you're naughty or nice. So very early, we learn to judge. This is good. This is bad. This is pretty. This is ugly. This is like us, and this is different, you know? So very early, because of all the influences that we have on our on what we believe. I mean, when we're young, we may have ideas of our own. I myself can chart back a moment of complete disregard for, you know, the rules, the story that I was told, this is what you're supposed to do at the age of 4 during my first day of school. Because I want to get to everything else, I won't tell that story now, but I will tell it in the future because it's pretty funny and it's pretty indicative. You know, I feel that everybody is entitled to evolve at their own speed and in their own way. I have respect for anything that anyone has faith in, but I think that we have to be realistic about how we learn things. I am a certified parenting instructor, and I see some of these parenting groups, and I watch them, and I have an involuntary, like, side-to-side shake of my head, and, you know, WT blank expression and a little bit of a smile, because I go, what on earth? Earth, are you talking to a child? Are you talking to an oppositional, defiant child? Let me explain something to you. Let me dip into my, you know, being a cognitive therapist for such a long time. When you're dealing with somebody who's oppositional, do not give them opposition. That is like feeding them. That's renewing them. It's like in that Pac-Man game, you renew all your lives. That's what it is. I tell a story sometimes about Hercules and the son of Demeter, the goddess of the earth. And they're in a wrestling contest, and Hercules is stronger, and he's winning. But every time he throws him to the ground, he gets up, and he's stronger than he was before, and Hercules is starting to get tired. Now, Hercules is the son of Zeus, okay, Zeus the Almighty. This is Roman mythology. And so Zeus finds some way. You know, in the movies, he sends this, like, owl, little metal owl. But he finds some way to tell Hercules, stop throwing him on the ground. Every time you do, his mother renews his power. So Hercules held him over his head until he tired out, and that was how the battle was won. I don't know what they tell you in these parenting groups about, you know, like you are your child's friend. No, you're not. You know, you love your child. But when you decide to be a parent, you take on the responsibility of giving that child certain attributes, certain things that they are going to need to be a successful adult. One of them is accountability. If you did it, you did it. You know, I told my sons, I am the mother of sons, and I told my sons, you know what? I know that you're not going to do everything that I tell you to do. I said, because I remember when I was a teenager and I didn't do everything that Grandma and Grandpa told me to do. I said, so here's the agreement that I'll make with you. I said, I feel sorry for you because I've done a lot of stuff and so I might recognize it really quick. I said, but if I catch you breaking one of my rules, I said, just don't whine. Just, you know, just say, okay, I knew I shouldn't have done it. Just tell me what my consequence is. And I just don't, no whining allowed. Okay. And the truth of the matter is that I actually gave my children points for originality when they would, like, tell me something. But my oldest son in particular was oppositional defiant. If I said red, he said blue. If I said up, he said down. If I said come here, he would be just like as far in the house away from me as he could possibly get away with doing it. We used to have an argument all the time because he was leaving dishes underneath his bed. I know. I should never have allowed them to eat in their room. Tell me about it. But in any event, he was leaving dishes underneath his bed. And I kept saying to him, you're going to bring insects into the house. And I would get back. This is about maybe when he was about, I think he's about 11. And he said, this is my room. And I said, well, I said, you're absolutely right. It is your room. I said, but right now, your room is attached to my house. And therefore, when you can show me that you have trained the insects, whatever kind of insects they might be, ants, roaches, whatever. When you can show me that you have trained the insects to stop at your doorstep, then I will have nothing to say about what you do in your room. But until that day, your room is attached to my house. There are different ways that you can learn. I'm a cognitive behavioral therapist. I will look at a child and go, I'm thinking that's not a really good career move right now. Because, you know, their job is to grow up, get an education, become a functioning adult, hopefully with a work ethic, and to be accountable for themselves, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually, intellectually. I know you've all seen the commercial that they have now where they're saying, let's get back into high school. Let's support high school. And I know that I belong to the Spiritual Guidance Network, and if you go to my website, http://www.outofthetangledweb.com. See how good I memorized that? In any event, if you go there, you'll find links to my show. You will find links to my archives. You will find links to my website. I do a bunch of things. And you know what? Even though I didn't plan on having to take care of my mother at this point in my life, I have adjusted. And I am doing all the things that I've wanted to do all my life, all at the same time, and I'm helping other people because, you know what, I finally get it. Although, just like Don Miguel says in the Fifth Agreement, which, by the way, I started reading earlier this week, mentioned it on my forum, you know, talked about it and everything, said, whoa, it's like really intense and everything. And I got about maybe 20 pages in, okay? And I put it down and I put it on the end of the bed and I went and got my yellow marked up copy of the Four Agreements because just like Don Miguel says, every time you read it, it's a different book. And I remember that that was true. The first time I read it just like I read every other book. You know, sometimes I'm reading like three or four books at the same time. I'm reading about chakras. I'm reading about NLP. I'm reading about, you know, I'm taking part in forums. I'm studying, you know, relationship articles. You know, I'm doing work. I'm doing mediation. I'm doing divorce and child custody. I'm doing a lot of different things, okay? So I have to pop my mind, you know, from this to this to this to this. I don't want to be a therapist anymore. I've been a therapist for 20 years. But you know what? I can't ever take the therapist out of me. It's always going to be there. You know, I was a therapist, cognitive behavioral therapist, for 20 years. So now I have changed my life as a result of the Four Agreements. Understanding that living is easy with your eyes closed, misunderstanding all you see. We have to understand that we are domesticated. We have been domesticated since we were very, very, very young. And we were also taught to be competitive. You know, if we had more than one sibling, we would compete for our parents' attention. Even single children compete for their parents' attention to keep the parents from spending time with themselves or whatnot. We compete against others, and we have totally missed the concept that the only person that we can ever compete against is ourselves. We can only be better than we were one moment ago. You can't ever go back. It's gone. People spend, you know, it's like driving in a car, you know, watching the rearview mirror. That's what therapy is like. You know, it's looking in the past and figuring out how you got where you are right now. And I'm not saying that that doesn't have its place. It does. You know, I mean, if there's something from your past that is just bothering you or that is just unresolved, then you should talk about it. You should talk about it, okay? But you shouldn't dwell on it because you know what? However it turned out is how it turned out, and there's nothing you can do to change it. So I chose to go into mediation and into coaching. And in the midst of my coaching college, I discovered neurolinguistics and I fell in love. I just did. Because neurolinguistics was just like, that's so totally the way I think. And I was like, it makes sense to me. There is no such thing as a mistake. It's only a lesson. We're on a journey. I mean, I'm a wanderer. I know that about myself. I'm a free spirit. In that way, I can document back to the age of four. Okay? I'm sure my parents could probably tell you it probably went even further back than that. But I can document up to the age of 4. I have never been normal. I mean, I never aspired to be average. I never wanted to be just one of the crowd. I always wanted to be me. And when I was younger, in a lot of ways, I was made to feel like, you know, just like all of us, that judge that we build inside ourselves is, you're not smart enough, or you're not good enough, or you're not thin enough, or you're not pretty enough, or you're not something. Okay, that's the judge. That's all the things we've been told. If we're good, we get rewarded. If we're bad, we're punished. We don't want to be punished, so we do what people tell us that we should do, and we don't try to think freely. And by the time we're at the age where we actually begin to have free thinking of our own and we start questioning, that's when they call us teenagers. Nowadays, they call them preteens, but, you know, that's what they call, you know, those difficult years. Yes, they've been around since the beginning of time. As I told you, I am not Christian. I am pagan, but I know a lot about, I was raised Irish Roman Catholic. I know a whole lot about the Bible. And I'm going to tell you that I believe, in fact, I just talked about that in a forum tonight. Of course, I'm pagan, but of course I believe in Jesus. Jesus was a man. He walked. He preached. He lived. And he died on the cross. The only difference between a Christian and myself is that they believe that after his human body that contained his spirit, his energy, his spirit energy. We're all full of energy, okay? We all have universal energy within ourselves. And, you know, our fate, we all have the same fate. If we're human beings, if we're living beings, our fate is that eventually the vessels that our energy are in will grow useless and fail, and then they will disintegrate. And our energy will then reunite with universal energy. For some people, that's their concept of angels and heaven and whatnot. Also, for some religions, that's their concept of hell. You know, as a pagan, the nature is my religion. And you know what? I can prove nature. Just open your eyes, go outside, touch a tree. That's all real. That's all us. That's our earth. We are spiritual beings having a human experience in a human vessel during this lifetime, and we only get one. So it's so important to take care of yourself. You know, I'm getting off the subject here, but, you know, I watched a thing on tanning last night. I used to love to tan, and then I got skin cancer. Now, it turned out that it was manageable, but it meant I couldn't tan anymore. And I watched these people, you know, when they were talking about it, about how they have it in their own home, because, you know, by law, you can only tan once a day. And these people would, like, tan for 45 minutes, and then they would tan, and the equivalent would be of being, like, 450-something days in the sun. Okay, well, you know, I'm one of those people where if I know it's not good for me, and there's no doubt then I'm probably not going to do it, you know. But anyway, back to our domestication. We are all told how to behave wherever we're brought up. Our parents give us rules. Our teachers tell us how to act. Our religious figures tell us what to believe. And in all of that is what neurolinguistics calls the development of the map. The map is your unconscious and conscious mind. In understand, your brain is awake 24 hours a day. Your unconscious mind stores all the things that you choose not to focus on, not to put your perception on at the time. Remember, millions of things are coming at you at any given time, and you choose those things that you want to focus on. The rest of the things go into your brain, and they're there, they're stored, they're back there. A lot of time dream therapy, you know, traditional dream therapy, you know, when they talk about certain things representing other things. Well, you know, first of all, it makes a difference how often the dream is coming from. Is it something you recognize? You know, I mean, is it a phobia? You know, there are a lot of questions. You just don't immediately say, oh, yes, you know, you've had something in your childhood. Well, sometimes we need to know what that is. Okay. When we begin our spiritual awakening, we understand that everything in our life that we do, that we say, that we think, that we're told, is all agreements that we're agreeing to. And when I first read the book, right the first time, you know, just to read it, waited about a week or two, went back to it and read it a second time. The second time I got so much more out of it. And that's how we learn, repetition. Every time you read the book will be different. Is the book different? No. But your perception is, because hopefully you've been doing things that evolve your perception. Your perception is how you see things. And it's primarily programmed by how you were brought up, but it can be influenced by those things that you open yourself up to learning. If you understand that we are all energy, then it makes sense to you that chakras and auras are actually real. We emit an energy. Everybody has a different, you know, frequency, and some people emit more than others, just like some people absorb more than others. I'm an empath. I absorb. I'm like a sponge. I go into a place where there's a lot of people, and it's like a whole lot of emotions, like a sponge. And it can be very, very, you know, disheartening. Other people, they don't know how to question their perceptions. And that's what mind mapping is about. In neurolinguistics, we go back and we look at how we see different things. I do readings. I don't read tarot. I tried that once many, many years ago, and I just could never really pick up the symbolatry. But I do use other cards, psychological cards. Right now I'm very into I Am cards by Marianne Browning. Someday I'll have to tell you the story of how I stalked her across the world. in order to get a copy of her cards, because they weren't for sale in the United States. And so I went searching, and finally she sent me two packs, and I still have them. I use them all the time. Thank you, Marion. I love you. I use those cards to help me start a conversation with people. I don't choose the cards. The cards are chosen by the universe. Everything in our lives, you know, we have a fate as human beings. Our fate is that this human vessel, this living vessel, is going to age, disintegrate, and let go of your energy. And then from that point on, depending on your point of view, your energy will either become an angel, become a part of the universal force, only to be reincarnated again. That's an interesting question the other day about, like, you know, people who walked, you know, the face of the earth, Buddha, Jesus, and everything. I wonder if their visions of peace and their ideas couldn't be incarnated into someone like a Martin Luther King, you know? See, I find that kind of... people tell me I overthink everything. See, but I find that interesting. I would be interested in finding out, you know, where do we get these ideas? Where do we make our judgments? Do you know that how many times when you make a mistake, how many times do you pay for it? Humans are the only animals that pay for a mistake over and over and over again because they remember, you know, a fox, he tries to catch a rabbit and he uses a trick and it doesn't work. And he sees another rabbit a little further on. He's not going to remember he just used that trick. He's going to use it again. He's not being punished because he didn't get the first rabbit. And we punish ourselves for our mistakes, when in truth, our mistakes are just lessons. We have a journey. We're like a tapestry. I have always believed this, even when I was younger. I said, even if I am not someone who will change the world, maybe I am a thread in the tapestry of, well, who was in the tapestry of our patriots' lives? Who was in Einstein's tapestry? Everybody comes from somewhere, and everybody comes from paganism. Sorry, that's true. Christianity. Jesus wasn't Christian. Buddha wasn't Buddhist. You're talking religion, and we're talking spirituality. I really, really hope that you do come and visit us on the Spiritual Guidance Network, because that's what we're all about, is to make things clear for people, to help them understand that we're always in a dream, and we're in a dream of our own creation. If we don't want the dream, the story, to go that way, at any given time, we have the right to say, no, I'm sorry. That's just not the way the story's going to go. And change it. And we have that power, but we have been so domesticated into believing that we have to live the dream of our society, the dream of our planet. No, we have the right to live our own dreams. You have the right to accept or not accept any agreement. I'm trying to think of an example. I have a good example, and this will probably make everybody that I know laugh. Okay. I decided, you know, when I got to my 40s and everything, and I said, I don't like this. I don't like the direction in which this is going, and I don't think I want to do this. And so I sat down and I figured out, I said, when did I ever agree to count the number of years that I've been here in 1 year increments? And is that really fair? Because I was born at the end of October. So I only had 10 days of October, 30 days of November, and 31 days of December. And according to the records, I was already 1 year old. That's like 73 days. I'm 73 days, and already they're telling me I'm one. No, I'm not. I'm 73 days. So I made an agreement with myself. I said, you know what? I don't like that agreement. People tell me all the time, well, you have to follow it. That's how people do it. And I go, well, I don't. I don't want to. I don't have to. You know, and they don't understand. I broke an agreement that has been handed down through the centuries. Why? Because it didn't fit with what I feel. You know, I'm a gift that the universe, for a long time I worked with children who were in, been taken from their parents and were either in foster care or adoption, children who were on juvenile probation, worked in a residential treatment center. I'm like a gift that the universe gives to someone. I didn't break you, so really, I'm not going to fix you. The gift that I have is that I can step back and I can shield myself emotionally and I can feel what other people feel. I can feel the energy of the transaction. I can help people to understand. I know you think that what I said is what you think you heard. But I don't know that what I said, what you heard, is really what I meant. And that is so true. So I'm going to try and take these shows, at least for the next few shows. I don't see any reason to interview other people or even to go on other people's shows to be interviewed. It's like I want to be able to give you this knowledge, and when I'm done and if it's not productive, then I'll do it a different way because I've been on my journey. I'm a wanderer. Not all who wander are lost. I'm not lost. I'm just curious. I'm curious as a cat, and I have a feline personality. And, you know, sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing. You know, if you bore me, then I'll just kind of wander away. And, you know, if I'm interested, then I'm fixated until, you know, people say, oh, you think too much. How can you think too much? That's a question I've just really, you know, I know what they mean. They say, oh, you're overthinking. But how can you overthink for your own brain? Isn't that just like a judgment and agreement that they're telling you that, oh, you should only think this much? people, please understand that you have the right to look at the agreements that you've agreed to. You have the right to change them any time that you want. You have the ability to open yourself to everything that the universe has to offer you. And that's why we are here. That's why I was chosen to learn the things that I learned, to do the jobs that I've done. All my life has been in preparation for me to be a guide for other people. And again, I'm not going to fix you. I'm never going to tell you what to do. I never told anybody what to do. I would only tell people what I would do if they did it. That way, I'm only responsible for myself. And I like it that way. See, I never wanted to be the boss. Oh, no. See, the boss is the one that, like, everybody, like, throws bombs at and everything. I don't mind being in the background. I don't, you know, I don't want to be, I want somebody to boss me around, but I don't want to be the boss either. I don't want to be, I don't want the responsibility. You know, it's like, now, there are times when you have to step forth and be a leader. That's in your DNA. It's all in your DNA. When you talk about your destiny, that's choices. For every choice you make, there's a consequence, good or bad. But it's just a consequence. If it's a bad consequence, don't make that choice again. Is that simple enough for you? You know, people who stay in relationships that are just repeats of themselves. Okay, I can do this. I can even do this in one session. Stop. That's not the type of person that you should be with. That's not good for you. Or that situation's not good for you. Or that's not suiting. You know, who are you? Do you know? And that's what mind mapping is about. Mind mapping is going in and talking about what your perspectives are. You know, what do you think? What bothers you? You know, what do you want to talk about? I can talk about anything. I'm a city Irish storyteller. I can talk as long as the day is long. People ask me, they go, do you ever stop talking? And I go, yeah. I go, sometimes I don't talk at all. I said, I'm perfectly happy being company for myself. I talk to myself all the time. Now, we have regular conversations. And then, you know, if you ever see me talking to myself, don't interrupt. I'm getting expert advice. So just understand that my relationship, I want it to be with people to understand I'm here to help. You know, if you're starting a new business, I've probably made all the mistakes that you're making now. Stop before you lose all your money. There are reputable people out there that will help you get started. You know, I'm willing to, not only I, but I know some of the other spiritual experts on Spiritual Guidance Network are willing to work with the economy to make ourselves affordable to you because we know how great the need is. 2016 is going to be a bugger of a year. Well, not only is it going to be an election year, but it's just going to be a really intense year for everybody. And the sooner that you prepare yourself for it. So once again, I am Nia. My email address is nia@outofthetangledweb.com. If you'd like to set up an appointment with me, you can send me an email. I know my website's just not like totally done yet. It's all about the PayPal thing. But if you write me a message and you decide that you would like to have a session, we can discuss it. If you'd like to tell me, what do you think I should call it? If you don't like mind mapping with me because it doesn't make sense to you, it makes sense to neurolinguistics. Okay, I just want to clarify that. I said that to another expert tonight. I said, you know, it makes sense to all of us because we know what we're talking about. I said, but it doesn't do me any good if it doesn't make sense to the people that I can help. And so if you find that my name has changed, then you will find that I'm just being Mia. And I am absolutely unique. I am the only Mia that you will ever meet. I live my life outside the box. It's in my ancestry. My City Irish and Sicilian ancestry. Sicilian, that's the gypsy. And the rebel. The Irish. People ask me, can you do magic? I tell them, I am magic. Understand, www.outofthetangledweb.com. I love you all, and good night.